It would strike most people as impossible to learn to play the piano at the age of 50, especially if there's virtually no free time in your life. But that didn't stop Noah Adams from trying, and you know how busy he is. He's the co-host of All Things Considered, and he always has another deadline to meet. A couple of years ago, he spent more than $11,000 on a piano and started teaching himself with the help of instruction books and computer discs. He kept a journal of his first year learning to play and adapted that into the new memoir, Piano Lessons. We invited him to join us in the studio at the piano to talk about the pleasures and frustrations of learning an instrument as an adult. Noah Adams told me he first tried learning without a teacher because he had teacher anxiety.
All the adult music teachers will tell you this, the people who teach adults, is that we're scared. We adults, we busy adults, are scared of failure. We tend to be people who accomplish things, and we look at this as a situation where we'll fail. We'll set up a lesson schedule, 10 o'clock Saturday morning, and that sounds fine, and then you get busy on Monday, and you're out of town on Tuesday and Wednesday, and you come back, and the kids are sick, and then pretty soon it's Saturday morning, and you haven't practiced a bit. And you go there, and you're all of a sudden you're back to when you were 10 years old, and you're failing. So that's what I thought. I didn't want to do that. Since then, I've found that teachers are very aware of that. I know a teacher in New York who had a student, a businessman, who said, "I will never practice. I want to come 1 hour a week, and I will never practice." She thought he would break down and practice, fall in love with it. He didn't. For 8 years, his only piano was 1 hour a week. At the end of the 8 years, he could play Scott Joplin's Maple Leaf Rag in the original, and he was a happy guy.
Is that all he could play?
That's all he could play.
I think one of the frustrations for an adult learning to play music is that your ear is much more sophisticated than your ability to play, and a lot of the books that are written for people learning how to play are written for children, and they're children's songs that aren't going to be pleasing to an adult. And also some of the children's exercises are not pleasing mm-hmm. to an adult. Maybe you could play some of the exercises that you use or have been using to learn to play, that an example of one you love or that bored you and frustrated you, whatever.
Sure, let me show you a couple things. Pianos play an exercise devised by Mr. Hannon, H-A-N-O-N, a long time ago. And there's a whole book of these, and people spend a long time with them. Somebody showed me this, and I thought it was to improve physical dexterity. And so I would play it. And on and on, up the keyboard and back down. You can play it this way. And I thought I was doing pretty good when I could play it fast. And then I realized I was thinking about other things. You could almost read the newspaper and watch television while you're playing this. My teacher now has taught me about Hannon. It is not about training your fingers to be strong. We have strong fingers. You know, we can type. If you type, you play the piano. It has to do with sounding notes cleanly and clearly. Art to it, and you can get fascinated with it. Releasing one note at the same time you're sounding the other. And it's a good way to warm up because you can let your shoulders relax and sort of get away from the day and get into the piano a little bit. The other thing I like to do is to play what Bach played to warm up with. I've learned to play the Prelude in C major by Bach. This is the first piece from the Well-Tempered Clavier, standard recital piece. Every child in America who plays piano plays this piece. I saw it played by a man in his early 80s who'd had a stroke at an adult music camp that I went to, and he got through it. He could barely make it to the piano, but he got through this Prelude in C major, and he was a happy guy. It's a nice warm-up because it's just repetition.
Now, what happens when you're practicing and you hit a wrong note? Do you have, like, adult ways of coping with the frustration of learning how to play?
If I hit a bad note, sometimes it has to do with concentration. If I'm playing badly, it's just because I'm not concentrating well, and I'll walk in the kitchen and make some tea.
Mm-hmm.
Make some, if it's in the evening, chamomile tea, and and come back to it. But really, the morning is the best time. The concentration is there. I don't play bad notes in the morning.
Noah Adams is with us, co-host of All Things Considered, and he's written a new book called Piano Lessons about the first year learning to play piano as an adult. Noah, I'm going to ask you to read a short passage from your book, and to me this passage is about the absolute low point of learning how to play, your period of greatest frustration.
End of summer, end of August, the piano is blowing up with humidity. It's just not working. I'm trying to learn to play Misty and memorize it through a learn-by-ear jazz piano course. And I've been out traveling for NPR, and I'm just about at the end of the piano ambition. And I'm coming up the Shenandoah Valley, going back to Washington. I'll be home in an hour, tired, wanting a bath and sleep. I realize I'm not especially looking forward to the weekend ahead, and the reason is Misty. The piano listening's been great, but my summertime learning curve has collapsed. I've come to dread the scale exercises. I can play Misty at a slow tempo, reading the dot diagrams, but I can't seem to memorize it. Three pages of the music stay in my mind. The final two will not. I've played Misty too much. The piano's out of tune. Who cares? And I'm not exaggerating. Who cares? You know, it was over with at that point.
Did you think you were going to give it up then?
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
didn't you?
Well, I had two things happen. One, I had a break. I was sent to Northern Ireland. This is the time of the ceasefire in the north. And a producer and I and an engineer went there to do some stories. And I had a vacation coming up in Maine. And I had also sent a deposit check to a music camp in Vermont called the Autumn Sonata in Bennington, Vermont. And I thought, well, that was in October. And I thought, well, I'll just go there. It'll be a nice vacation. First part of October. I'll go there and see what happens. If I don't like it, I can just come back home. So that's the deal. Plus, the piano's sitting there. If you're going to walk past it every day, you're going to be saying to yourself, well, I failed at that. My wife, Nina, has a violin, which was, you know, a little pricey, and it just didn't work for her, and now it's in the closet. Well, you can't put the piano in the closet. I think she'll get back to the violin, but you can't put that piano in the closet, so it confronts you every day.
So, but you decided to keep at it, and I guess this adult piano camp in Bennington really turned you around.
Yeah, I had seen, we'd watched Horowitz play in a video, Horowitz playing in Moscow, the return concert when he went there, and I'd seen him play as an encore, Traumerei. Little piece of music, and the credits came up, and they said it was Traumerei by Robert Schumann. People were crying. So I loved that piece of music. I thought maybe I could play it because it sounded pretty simple, but I didn't do anything about it. When I went to the piano camp, 20 adults were there. Some people used this as their only lesson for the year. A surgeon, for example, no time to practice, no time really to go to lessons, will come and immerse herself in what's going on at that piano camp, be around people who are equally obsessed, and they all were. Nobody would talk about what they did outside. You wouldn't hear anybody say, what do you do for a living? They said, what are you playing? What are you working on? What kind of piano do you have at home? When did you start? And what do you hope to learn here? And it was an extraordinary thing. Five or six teachers, everybody was willing to give you a lesson anytime you wanted it, a recital at the end of the 10 days, which scared me. I mean, it's just terrifying. And I said, well, I want to learn Traumerei. And they said, well, gee, I don't know. why don't you play this nice Vandal prelude and for the recital? They said, Traumerei is a third-year piece. The teachers call it trauma because it's really hard. And then a teacher near the end of the week said, look, why don't you take this piece of music and learn it for your wife as a Christmas present? And I said, okay, I'll try to do that. So that's what happened. But I got turned around at that piano camp because people loved the music and I could start learning right with a real teacher, and it made a big difference.
Now, you call the Traumerei the piece that has taught you piano.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to play the piece for us in a minute, but before you do, I'd like you to kind of play for us your approach to learning it.
Oh, gee.
Do you know what I'm saying? You do it a measure at a time, two notes at a time, one hand at a time.
Sure. Well, one night in Vermont, this is a great music teaching family, the Vanderlyn family of Vermont, and they started this sonata in the fall and in the spring for adults. They teach youngsters in the summertime, lots of kids running around. They have 20 rooms in the house, and they have 20 pianos. And I was the first time I approached this piece of music, I was in a piano in the laundry room, and they have a piano there, big old grand piano in the laundry room. And I asked a teacher to show this to me, and starts in middle C, which I knew. That's my good note, right? I can get that one. And then play this F. Then there's a chord, and this chord took me about 2 weeks to get to. And then by the way, do you notice just how your blood pressure, mine does anyway, goes down a little bit when you hear a little bit of music like that? It's just
that's your blood pressure should be going up because you're performing on the radio now.
Well, yeah, but boy, that's so pretty. I mean, Schumann wrote this when he was in his late 20s, and he wrote it for Clara, who he was in love with. And I know that I played it. Schumann died when he was 46 in an insane asylum. I know I've played it more times than Robert Schumann has, and I probably appreciate it more than he did or even Clara did. I mean, I just think it's...
You still love it?
Horowitz called it a masterpiece.
And, I know Horowitz, yeah, but you've stumbled your way through it for a really long time, and now you've really got it. But I mean,
I never get tired of playing it.
Even though it's presented itself with many hurdles for you to overcome.
It has within it the ability to teach you a lot of piano. And there are things in here that a first-year student shouldn't be trying to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of toughed my way through it with teachers. And I got to the end of it, and I can play it. And on a really good night, with Nina taking a bath, you know, late at night, and the dog sleeping, I can play it just wonderfully.
Play it for us.
Okay. You know, there's a button I saw at a music camp. I saw a button a student had that says, "I played it better at home."
Right. Well, I think it's awkward thing to have to perform, and I didn't mean a performance to be, well, let's see how good he is, but rather to share with us the process of learning. And it raises for me a really, I think, major question for any adult who's learning an instrument, which is, what is this about? Is it about the pleasure that music and the privacy of your own room can give you? Or is it about performing? Is it about being good? I mean, do you care if you're good or not? Or is it just about the pleasure of being able to sit at the piano and get sound?
I just read Menachem Pressler, who plays in the Beaux-Arts Trio, and just had, by the way, his solo debut at Carnegie Hall in his 70s. He said the epiphanies, and I agree with this, the epiphanies are in practice. Mm-hmm. They're not in performance. And when you think about it, the rush of adrenaline and everything else that gets you up for other things, the performance pays off. But in this particular situation, maybe he's right. The real joy comes in practice. He said that his performance level was only ever 70% of what he could do in practice. So he's 30% down when he goes to perform all over the world, and I assume in recordings too. So it really is right with what you do. It's the honesty of what you do at the piano keyboard when you hear it yourself. There is a Schumann C major toccata that has in it so many notes that the pianist is playing 24.1 notes a second. Somebody analyzed a recording of it. And when I'm just doing this. And so who cares? I'll never be a performer. Nina, my wife, said, we were talked about, when will you be a piano player? I'll never be a pianist. Maybe I will be a piano player. And she said, it's when you can affect someone's emotion by playing it. And I take that to mean my emotions as well as someone else's.
Well, Noah, thanks a lot for talking with us about your new book, Piano Lessons, and for playing for us, too.
I enjoyed it, Terry. Thank you.
Noah Adams is the co-host of All Things Considered. His new memoir is called Piano Lessons. This is Fresh Air.